Hello, everyone. My name is Alexa, and welcome to the Maturity Podcast. Today, I have with me Amanda Hepper, president of Maturity. Thank you so much, Amanda, for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Let's just go ahead and jump into the topic. So today, we'll be discussing business continuity planning and why it's always important and the steps involved. The first question we have for you today is, what is a business continuity plan?
That's great. And thanks for having me, Alexa. This is going to be fun. So a business continuity plan is a document that outlines how a business will continue operating during an unplanned disruption in service. It outlines how they will maintain functions and quickly resume services in the event of a disruption, whether caused by things like a fire, flood, or malicious attack, or a pandemic, which is familiar to everybody in the world right now. It contains procedures and instructions for what an organization will do in the event of such disasters, covering things such as business processes, assets, human resources. For instance, practices will need to consider a way to continue seeing patients, as well as continue with operations such as billing and claims, both very important things for practices. In our region, snow, wind, ice storms occur occasionally, and we need to consider in advance what happens if the power goes out, and proactively manage a reciprocal agreement with a light practice. So if there is an ambulatory surgery center, they may want to coordinate with another ambulatory surgery center, a reciprocal agreement, so that they can trade locations in the event that they need to.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that answer. On to our next question. What have you seen happen in the past to companies that didn't have a business continuity plan? And are there any specific stories that you can recall when that happened?
There was a practice that was going through the business continuity planning process. And one of the questions was, are you at risk for a flood? And they were on the second floor of a multi-story building. And they said, nope, we're on the second floor. No chance of water damage whatsoever. Okay. 3-day holiday weekend comes up. They come back in on a Monday. And their medical records room is flooded.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Horrible, because the office on top of them, right above them, had a sink that some kind of plumbing issue occurred. And so for 3 days, it had been running, and it totally flooded their medical records room, destroying medical records information, backups. So it was horrible. So that's one instance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a larger occurrence was actually for the city of Atlanta. A couple of years ago, they had a ransomware attack called SamSam. And this attack devastated the city's government computer systems, disrupting numerous city services, police records, courts, utilities, parking services, and other programs like that. Mm-hmm. Computer systems were shut down for 5 days. As services were slowly brought back online, it actually took several months to fully recover from this attack. And one thing that occurred was that they had a $52,000 ransom payment. That was the demand. But when all things were said and done, it was projected to cost more than $17 million for the city, including $3 million for response teams and IT services to restore everything. And that is very similar to what we have researched with breaches and penalties. Those initially could cost 4% of the entire cost to recover. Mm. Because of things like restoring services, having to do credit monitoring and things like that. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's interesting too, especially sometimes it feels like it takes so much effort to create something like this because you have to go into so much depth and you have to think of everything that could possibly go wrong. But in the end, that time that you spend on it can save so much money in the end. And time is money. So yeah, that's really unfortunate. That water damage story really got to me. I'm like, oh gosh, that's so sad. All right, so on to the third question. How should you go about creating a BCP?
Sure. So in summary, it really helps you identify unique threats. Protocols for prevention and recovery. So first you want to start with the team. You identify the team members. We suggest that you have leadership from the different departments within your organization. If you have a compliance officer, they should be included. IT managers, operations managers. Smaller organizations, of course, will not have as many team members. And it's really important to right size this for your organization. It's also a very important note to determine who will declare activation of a business continuity plan. You don't want people running around at the last minute trying to figure out who isn't part. Mm-hmm. So you may want to determine a specific individual with an alternate or a role for that. So then you move on to your business impact analysis. And this is where you get into identifying critical functions to your organization, such as access to protected health information and your medical record systems. You want to make sure that those records are available to everyone or the appropriate people in the event of a disaster. And sometimes you may temporarily change access depending on what kind of disaster you have. You want to address information technology. Do you have backups? Patient communications. How will incoming calls be handled for specific types of requests, such as medication refills, appointments, and then clinical operations? A very important step is to identify your essential services to your organization. Will you continue seeing patients? Mm-hmm. You need to limit the number of patients you see. What types of patients will you see? And then how will you go about reaching out to those patients and rescheduling? There's six basic risk areas that you can fold everything up into: geological, so acts of God, earthquake, volcanoes, weather, which can be flood, snow, ice, a structure can collapse. You can have a plumbing issue. Intentional human cause, which would be cybersecurity, bomb threats, that type of thing. And then technological, which would be hardware, software, and network failures. So then you assess, you have this great big list of all of your potential threats. And then you assess each risk for its impact and probability. For instance, a pandemic, we would say, has low probability and a high impact. We may adjust that now. I can share that those probably weren't included in a lot of business continuity plans, and I know that they will be now. Ransomware might have a medium probability and high impact. Social media, so if you get a bad social media review, that may be, in your opinion, low likelihood and low probability. So then you monitor your risks. So you come up with this plan, you identify the priority of them, and then you continue to monitor those. And that's where that business continuity team comes into play, because risks change all the time and you want to continue to monitor those. For each risk, you develop a mitigation plan. So pandemic, that occurs, you may want to limit your exposure. And so you close your doors, you have everybody work from home. Mm-hmm. Those are ways to assess your risks. Then you want to communicate your plan. So this is probably one of the biggest pieces of it. You need plan accessible. You need people to understand what their roles are. They need to understand who is in charge. Having those in place, that communication plan in place, will increase the confidence of your employees and of your patients. The last piece is that you need to test your plan. So you need to have drills and incorporate lessons learned. You also should incorporate lessons learned after you actually have an event such as a pandemic. How can I improve my business continuity plan to protect me further in the future?
Yeah. Wow. It's really good to understand that it's so much better to be safe than sorry in the long run. And you never know, like you said, you can analyze your risks and what you're most prone to happening in your area. And I think a lot of people, like with a pandemic, not many people thought that the whole world was going to be hit with something like that. But now going forward, we're kind of a little bit more aware of all those risks that, you know, are more prone to happening. So better to be safe than sorry in every situation. And for our last question, what should you avoid doing when making a business continuity plan?
Not identifying all potential threats, such as water leaks, right? It's really important to involve multiple stakeholders in your planning process and other departments. They're going to know what functions might be at risk more than perhaps the CEO of the company. Also, not including communication processes that we just talked about a moment ago, and then not prioritizing which resources should be restored first. So if you've assessed your systems and know which systems contain protected health information, those likely should be the first ones to be restored if they are taken out. And then not revisiting the plan is another mistake. It is best for that business continuity team to meet at least quarterly to revisit what is going on, if there's any new threats that they should add to the plan. And then the last thing is not having data backups. You need to know your systems and know which ones are critical and ensure that you have backups and test restoring backups.
Awesome. Those are some really great tips. And again, I think that one of the most important things to remember is that don't make assumptions and think that you have everything under control. And if you're one person in charge of this risk analysis and risk management, you need to make sure that you have a good team of people, because if only one person knows everything that's supposed to go on and the whole team is unaware of the steps that need to be taken when something like this hits, then it's not going to be useful. Really, communication is so key. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. And thank you to all who took the time to listen to the MedCurity podcast. Have a great day.
Thanks, Alexa.